Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Twanda Black, your host, and joining me this morning, our psychotherapist, our relationship expert, author, speaker, Dr. Joyce Morley is here. How are you, Dr. Joyce?
I'm doing fantastic, Twanda. How are you?
Good, 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 good. So look, what's about to come up in the spring that happened in the winter?
There's a lot. You know, there's a lot. You know, all these promises are made in the winter because I need a place to stay. I've been, you know, put out. I've been evicted. Or I can't pay my rent. My bills are too high. So people get together. They engage during the winter. They're all cozied up. They're all lovey-dovey. They're having a great time. And the winter's there, so I'll do whatever you want. Yeah, we'll go together. We'll hang together. But once the spring comes out and I don't need a place to stay, I don't need my coat. I don't need a shelter. I don't need any of that stuff. Then guess what I'm about to do? I'm about to, as they say, bounce.
Wow.
I'm leaving because I made you all those promises in the winter, but right now in the spring, I don't need you.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody else will allow me. As a matter of fact, I can go sleep under a tree in the spring.
And be all right.
And be all right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so people get together, Twanda, you know, during the winter, and they let people in. They think that it's for a lifetime and it's only for the winter time, and they realize in the springtime it's going to be something different. So they begin to go back on the promises that they made to each other.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes those promises have been there 10, 15, or 20 years, and you wonder, why aren't you all married?
Wow.
But we're going to get, and 10 kids later.
It's true.
10 children later.
It's true.
All these empty promises.
It's so true. And, you know, back in the day, people were together. You always thought they were married. And then you found out they weren't married,
and for
different reasons they just didn't get married, but
they cohabitated,
they had children, they went to church together, they had bank accounts. I mean, just all of that. And
all
I think
stuff.
That is coming back.
It's coming back. They're
yeah.
coming back. I get clients oftentimes and I say, well, what's the reason? Why aren't you all married? You know, what has happened? I don't know. Time just went by and we just never got married. But there were promises made. There had to be promises. No one stays into an empty vessel if there's no direction unless there's a promise or someone is beginning to navigate and give them some thought or some belief that something great and grand is going to happen at the end.
Yeah, yeah. I know a couple of young people, millennials in that age group right now, and the guys are promising the girls. And like one girl, she said, we've been engaged for 7 years. I say, 7 years? What?
7 years of engagement?
Right. You've been engaged. I say, he knows the first year. He knows the first day when he looks at you. But
that's right.
7 years? Really?
7 years. That's right. The guy knows whether he wants to take you home to his mother or whether he wants anyone else to see you. And see, in the wintertime, you can camouflage a lot because people are not seeing the full, unadulterated view of what's going on. So I can hide you out. I can hide you for all these years, but then there's never commitment. So when you have these empty promises, there's no commitment. If there's no commitment, then nothing is going to happen in the end. You become that person's convenience.
Wow.
Well, and there is no choice. You know, you're not my choice. You're an option at this point because I have only a couple because I don't have anywhere to stay, but there's no commitment at that particular time.
That's crazy. So I asked the guy who I happen to know. I know him and not really know her, but no, you know, I know them together, but I know him. I'm friends with him. I said, why haven't you married her? He says, just keeping my options open. I said, that is selfish and sick right there. She does his laundry. She irons his clothes. She cooks his food. Of course, she has sex with him. And you are keeping your options open? Thank God they don't have any kids.
Keeping your options open at her expense.
Yes, it's selfish.
So it's selfish. So when does one begin to love him or herself enough to say, you know what? I'm no longer going to be your option. Either I'm your choice, and there's a commitment, or you can hit the road. Here's where you begin to kick them to the curb.
Right, right, right. Now, if you want to stay there and do that, and it's just time. You cannot get back.
You cannot get back.
You cannot get it back. Oh, my
goodness. And you know, the adage, you know, why are you going to buy the milk when you can get the cow free? And buy the cow when you can get the milk free. It really comes down to, if I know that I can go and just buy all, get all this milk and I don't have to buy the cow. I have an everlasting cow that's going to pour all this milk out for me. Then why am I doing this?
Mm-hmm.
And so too often people are so, because of self-esteem, because of fears of stepping out, because of the fact they become comfortable in that state of being with someone, and they're afraid to take a risk. And then oftentimes the person who is for their convenience, Twanda, they make that mate or that partner believe that nobody else wants him or her.
Mm.
Where are you going? I'm your only option, and you are mine, but you are not my choice.
Wow.
And so that one person who is not benefiting has made the other one the choice, but they're not getting anything out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So 2 + 2 does not equal 4 at that particular time. It doesn't even have, the equation doesn't even come together.
Wow. So, I mean, the answer for a lot of women that you ask, why are you still with that person? Well, convenience, you know, he brings in a little check, or I really don't want to start looking. It's hard out there dating. I don't want to have to look for anybody. At least I know what I got right here. And
but
so, but that's a
have.
Cop out. But that's a cop out too.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. It's an excuse. So when we begin to say, I know what I have, you really don't, because if you knew what you had, then you know that you could depend on
mm-hmm.
him or her.
Mm-hmm.
You could depend and say, yes, we are definite. Here's our date. You know, we begin to look at when you've chosen me and I've chosen you, then we come together and we collectively make a decision as to when this is all going to come together. When are we going to get married?
Yeah.
When are we going to be each other? When are we going to be in a monogamous relationship?
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
when you're keeping those options open, you're saying, you know what? No, you're not even the one. I don't even know I want you, but I can sleep with you. I can snore in your face. I can have you whenever I want,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not willing to have you to be the number one in the right place.
That's the thing. I want to be number one and the only one.
That's the thing. That's right. Having that person in line, and when you get tired of them, it's like a doorknob twists you anytime I feel like the light is flicked on and off. And so when I want you off, then you go over there because I might be with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And women do it so much because of the fact that they're many times so desperate to be with somebody,
yeah.
they wind up with anybody who turns out to be nobody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's so true. So, you know, we're talking about holding on to empty promises, and I have to tell my story. I was married to a drug addict, and all the women who are married to alcoholics or drug addicts or somebody that has some kind of addiction will totally understand what I'm saying. When, you know, they go out, they binge, they spend all the money, or they don't come home for 3 days or whatever it is, and
mm-hmm.
they come home and tell you all the lies, and then they cry and tell you, I love you so much, I'm not going to do it anymore. And for me, the empty promise is, I'm not going to do it anymore, but he can't help it. So he continues to do it. But right then, you make up. Because you want to believe that empty promise. And I can't tell you how many empty promises I had. But
mm-hmm,
then after
mm-hmm.
a while, I had enough. And I said, I had to really recognize his drug addiction was not about me.
Mm-mm.
And that nothing is going to change.
That's right.
Yeah.
And how many times we've said it on this show over the years, people do not change.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to repeat that. People do not change. And I know some of the listeners are probably saying, oh, yeah, but God changed. I said, we didn't say God can't and won't. We said, I'm saying, people don't change.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
if you are a murderer, there's a propensity for you to always go back and murder again. If you're a philanderer, there's a propensity for you to go back and philanderer again. The bottom line comes down to, with these empty promises that he'll change, you can't change anybody. The bottom line is people have to change their attitudes, their beliefs, and
mm-hmm.
their behaviors
mm-hmm.
about how they see you as an individual, see you as value, see you as worthy, see you as someone that they'd like to have in their life forever. Without making promises that they know they're not going to keep.
Right.
So oftentimes it's not one, well, I'm thinking about it, as you said, when they see them from the beginning, especially the guy, he knows who he wants to take home and
mm-hmm.
meet mama.
Mm-hmm.
So when there's no when you are not valued and you're not seen as worthy, then why am I keeping you on?
You've got to look at it. That's right. You got to open your eyes and look at that situation and say to yourself, I got to make some changes because this is not going to change. This right here is not good. I was telling my husband, we went down to Florida this weekend, so it was just he and I, and we got a chance to just laugh and talk and enjoy, you know, being a couple, because usually we have a car full. And I was telling him about the time I was in my 20s, I was working in the Tampa radio market, and I'd met this guy. Guy was so cute, drove a motorcycle, you know, a little bad boy thing, right? And so he called me up, and he said, come meet me at someplace. So we're sitting down. It was like a little park bench, and we're sitting down on a park bench, and we're just talking, sharing our lives and blah, blah, blah. Of course, I was a little church girl, right? So, you know, he told me, he said, you know what? I'm not going to do this to you. He said, I'm not going to be loyal to you. I'm going to cheat on you. I'm going to mess around. I'm going to sleep with other women. And he said, you are such a nice girl that I can't do it to you.
Wow.
And that was the only first and only time that's ever happened to me in my life. I was devastated because I really was digging the guy, right, at 20 something.
But couldn't you appreciate that?
I do.
At that time, you probably
did. Yes, yes. I was like, what do you mean I'm a nice girl? You know,
but
you got to appreciate a person that will come out of their mouth and tell you the truth. You got to appreciate that.
That's right. Because many times we think something is wrong with us. No, it had to be something wrong with him. Mm-hmm. Because if he were to see you now, you'd be able to say to him, but look at me now. when I was back then, you didn't want me. Now you see me and you're looking all over me. But the bottom line comes down to either I'm going to be able to fit within your life and you fit in mine, we make a commitment to each other, but you're not going to keep making me promises and I don't see any results. Because promises actually are the line into a result. There should be some outcome and it should be a positive outcome. Baby, I'm going to get you a house. How are you going to get me a house and you don't have a job? So why are you listening to something like that?
That nonsense.
Yeah, I can see us traveling the world. You can't travel even to the next city in Georgia, but you want to travel the world? Come on.
Mm-hmm.
And people buy into this. Twanda. One of the things we're going to be offering is starting my Insanity Club. I've already got my logo and everything together. So I'll have Insanity cards, and I've been telling my clients that I'm going to start. People can join the club, and when they opt out, they can turn their card back in. So how often do you walk down the road of empty promises, fall into the hole of being devastated, being isolated, just being totally disappointed, and you get right back up tomorrow and next week and go
and
back
do it
down
again.
That same road and fall into the disappointment, isolation, you know, just really upset, depressed. Mm-hmm. You can't get out your bed. Something is wrong. That's insane.
Right. And of course, that definition is insanity is doing the same thing over and over, but you expect a different result. It's not going to happen.
The same thing.
Yes. It's an amazing thing. It really is.
It really is. And
I don't think there is a person on the earth that cannot say they have not done that.
Right.
Because we've all done
That's right.
We've all done it. Yes.
You know, remember the record, Everybody Plays a Fool Sometimes?
Yes.
Now, it says sometimes, not all the time. So you have to at some point get a plan where you're no longer going to play the fool. You've got to some point set plan with some goals, and you've got to come up with a strategy. My 8-year-old grandson plays chess, and he says to me, Grandma, it's all about strategy. Mm-hmm. It's strategy. Mm-hmm. So what are you going to do once you get this plan, once you strategize as to how you're going to get out of this situation? Because it most certainly is not a relationship.
Well, Doc, here's the thing. Some people don't know how to pull out of it. I've seen people just say, I don't know what to do to get out of it. I keep going back, and I don't know why. I just don't know what to do to move from this point to this point so I can get out of this thing.
Here's where, Twanda, where you bring in a professional. Mm-hmm. Because the people around you are going to make you feel bad. Girl, you got all those babies. Y'all got about 4 or 5 children. You don't need to leave that. But, again, if you're not being satisfied, if you know there's no commitment, you and your children are going to make it no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
It comes down to getting with a professional who's going to help you to begin to look at the situation from a different perspective, to help you to begin that third person who does not have a vested interest, who's going to help you to be able to see, this is not for me. I'm not growing. You're growing older, but I'm not growing stronger. Mm-hmm. I'm not growing bolder, and I'm not growing on the inside because I'm miserable. Every woman that we know wants a commitment. There are many men out there who want a commitment, but they don't get it. So there's no way in the world world you're going to tell me that you're feeling good on the inside when you're being treated like dirt on the outside?
Mm.
So you get with a professional that can help you to begin to see all of the aspects of the situation that you're in, that you call the relationship for 5, 10, 15, 20 years or during the wintertime, and you begin to see that there's no merit to it. There is not an asset. What are you getting out of it? So usually what I have people to do is to get a piece of paper and to begin to look at coming up with some options here. What are my choices I have? I can stay in it and be miserable. I can go on out of it. I might be miserable for a minute, but I'll be better off after a while.
Mm-hmm.
Or I can just say, you know, forget it. Don't even do anything about it. Write down on the paper your choices. And once you've written the choices, then begin to look at what are the three things it would take in order for you to be able to get to either of those choices. And I always give them the question, what's the worst thing that can happen if I choose to stay, if I choose to leave, I choose to totally ignore it, and then make a decision on paper.
Wow.
Once you've made that decision on paper, get with someone who's bold enough, intelligent enough, and not your friends who want to see you miserable while they're out there fancy-free and having a great time. Begin to look at a plan. That person can help you to come up with a plan, that professional. Mental health professional doesn't mean that you're crazy, a little insane for staying in that thing the way you are, but at the same point, you can begin to look at, here's the plan.
Yeah.
They can help you to strategize. And what I do is I never tell people to just leave. I help them to become stronger, to become bolder, to become more in love with themselves before they make that move. So when they make that move, they're looking through the windshield and not the rearview mirror.
Yeah, because it's tough. It's, I mean, you know, that my first love, and I loved him to life. I did everything I could. But when I figured out it wasn't about me, I said, you know what? It's time for me to get out of this.
It's
just crazy because it's not going to change.
Right. But let me say one other thing that I say to couples. When you really want to get out of a situation and move on, stop having sex. Stop having sex, because that sex comes in and makes you feel that emotional tie.
Right.
And once you're emotionally tied, so what happens? You're miserable on Monday morning.
Mm-hmm.
You get up crying every day. You can't go to work. Your eyes are all swollen. Y'all argue back and forth. Then it comes back, and it's, baby, I love you at night.
Yep.
Again,
yep.
Here's the promise that I can fulfill you sexually, but what other way are you being fulfilled? Why are you living on empty promises? You're fulfilled sexually, you believe it, that night. But then the next day you look around and your glass is three-quarters empty.
Mm-hmm.
You have nothing in it.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's empty and there's nothing coming out of it, why do you keep putting in investing in something? You wouldn't go to the bank and invest in the bank if it yield no return and you couldn't get your money out.
Yeah. What I had to do is I moved. I packed up my children and I moved. And I would not take phone calls. He couldn't come see me. I just cut him off completely, because I knew is exactly what you're saying. Those soul ties that you have with a person, it's very difficult. Very difficult.
Change your telephone number.
Yep.
And don't be weak. You have to do your oral positive self-talk. I can do this. I'm going to do this. I'm not accepting any numbers.
Right.
I'm not talking with them.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be strong. And again, if you can't be strong, or you don't know how to be strong by yourself, get with a professional who can guide you down this path and be there to support you. I give homework assignments for people to be able to learn to help themselves through whatever they need. And so you have a website, you have places where you can get rid of stuff out your house called Let It Go.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same thing here. Let it go. Let him go. Let her go. It's not an asset. It's a liability. I don't know if you remember the other day, there was a thing with BB&T Bank, and something happened. There was a glitch, and people couldn't get to the bank. They couldn't get the money. They couldn't go online, and everybody was panicking. Well, it's the same thing. If you're not getting out of this, something out of this situation, it's not a relationship. It's not for the long haul. It's a convenience and not a commitment. Then it's time for you to decide, I will no longer be engaged in empty promises yielding me absolutely nothing.
Mm.
I'm going to get out of it.
Yeah. Doesn't take 5 years, 3 years. It doesn't take that long to know if somebody's going to marry you.
That's right.
Unless that's what you want to do. And we do know that some people do it for their checks and for the money and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure there are ways that you could even work those things out.
Oh, yes, yeah. yes, there are ways. But then you have to have an understanding from the onset.
Mm-hmm.
So when he says, I don't want children, or she says, I don't want children, and you knew that from the beginning, then don't come back because that wasn't a promise.
Right.
But if there was a promise from the onset, well, when we have children, or you have two or three, or when if you help me to have children, and you have that promise and there's nothing that comes out of it, there's no result that's in your favor, then why go through the labor and have all this stuff going on in your life mm-hmm. if it's not benefiting
mm-hmm.
you?
Mm-hmm. That's
so
true.
There are people who have understanding from the onset, and I agree with that. Like the guy who said to you, hey, I'm just not into you.
Yeah.
I'm going to cheat on you. I'm
yep.
going to do all these things
yep.
like that. That's an understood. So if now that would really be insane if you stayed into that situation
oh,
and kept
yeah.
chasing.
Oh, yeah. I was like, okay, dude, I got it. I got it. First time, I'm good. Because I wanted a relationship, and that's not what he wanted. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you should be the favorite one in if it's a true relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You should be the favorite one. There should be an understanding. And promises, you actually come together and you make goals and not promises. And goals show that they're activities, they're specific directions that you're looking at going to and meeting those goals. But promises can be empty if you don't see the whole kit and caboodle of what it would take in order for it to come together.
It's so true.
And when people want something, they'll tell you anything.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when we were coming up, there's a talk about, there was a saying, you know, my mama said book, I talk about
mm-hmm.
it, Joe Rockhead. Do you think I'm Joe Rockhead? You know, that my head is that big and that hard that I don't see beyond all of this.
You know, and that's so, an old school right there.
It's old school. Or sometimes, do I have to be hit upside the head with a 2x4?
Right.
What is it? To see the light.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And guess what? Don't get caught up into the fact, well, I've been through this, I've been doing it, and I feel like a fool, I feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
Stop putting your foot in your own behind. Get it out so you can walk on it.
Yes.
And be able to forgive yourself. Yeah, I did. But guess what? 5 years, you can let that go.
Mm-hmm.
But if you stay in it any longer, it's going to be 10 years, 15 years. You can't get those years back.
You're going to look up and it's a lifetime.
That's right. That you've wasted. You wasted on empty promises.
It's amazing. Empty promises, y'all. Empty promises. You do not want to join Dr. J's Insanity Club. Dr. J, tell people how they can reach out to you.
Twitter, they can reach me by going to my website at www.drjoyce.com. That's www.drjoyce.com. And also they can reach me by calling 770-808-6570, 770-808-6570.
All right. We'll talk to you next month on another great subject. Thank you so much for joining us.